This is Wisconsin Public Radio. You are now up to date with the latest news, and it's time for a swim in the pool of Western Wisconsin arts and culture. This is Spectrum West. Today, musician Tommy Bentz calls in from River Falls to talk about his love of music and about his newest CD. Infinity Beverages Winery and Distillery is getting ready to celebrate a grand opening and tasting event a week from Saturday. Today we have all the details. Jim Oliver stops in with a glance at what's on stage in Western Wisconsin and also shares a delightful conversation with Judy Johnson, who's directing the Great River Road Theater production of Annie, opening soon in a new venue. And this is where we begin. The Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee, Wisconsin, has a reputation appreciated worldwide. The exterior is unique, the interior is awe-inspiring, and for over a century and a quarter, it has hosted events of all shapes and sizes and sensations. The 2017-2018 season will more than live up to that status. Plus, it will all help provide the revenue that keeps it alive and well. Steve Renfrey is executive director, and he arrived the other day with information. The history of the Mabel Tainter, given the namesake lady, the heritage of the place itself, all the ups and downs it's endured, it's impressive. Now, you haven't been director for 128 years, I know. So the meaning of the history has to be passed down from director to director. You know, maybe it gets stronger the older the place gets.
There have been many executive directors, and each one has brought their own passion to the theater.
Yeah.
And I think we all do that. We bring our passion to it, and we learn from them. I see references to many executive directors every week.
Yeah.
And I have great respect for all the work they've done, which helped me get to the place I am.
So what did it mean to you when you became executive director? Wow, look at this place. I get to run this.
I really didn't understand the full scope of this responsibility. It took me a year to begin to see what a tremendous responsibility it is, and then I had to grow into the position in order to make my vision and the vision of the theater unite.
I thought to myself, okay, does Steve ever sit alone in the theater, take a seat and just sit alone and think about the confines? I'll bet you've been in the whole building alone at some time or another. What's that like?
It is a little bit overwhelming at times. I've had to get used to that feeling because there is something about a vacant building, particularly older buildings, that can intimidate you. And at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning,
yes.
I do feel that. You know, we have a history of the presence of various spirits. Yeah. And I have never particularly had a visitation from her or Henry Doty Maxim, but many people, even within the last year or two, have had visitations. And ooh, some of them were not believers, but they became believers.
How did they describe the visitation?
Well, one of our performers was from the Britons, a Beatles group, and the gentleman was singing a John Lennon song. And he said in the middle of the song, he heard a man's mumbling in his ear monitor. He said, I could hardly get through the piece. He did get through it, and he asked the other members of the group if they had heard it, and they had not. I asked him if he had ever had an experience like this before in the previous 30 years that he's been a member of the Britons, and he had not. And our docents, particularly Lucy Widener, said, well, that's Henry Doty Maxim. He plays with the technology, and there's a long history of Henry playing jokes on people like that.
What's his history, Henry?
Henry was the Unitarian minister who helped the Tainters arrive at the decision to erect the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts to honor Mabel after she died at the age of 19 years old.
Yeah.
Through that collaboration, the Tainters built this beautiful piece of architecture that we all enjoy.
I would purposely just walk through, you know, up into the turrets and sit there and, okay, Mabel, listen, if you're here, I'm curious. I want to talk to you because I want to be a believer. Let's talk.
One of my colleagues, she says hello to Mabel when she walks in the morning, and she says goodbye when she leaves. And that's where we are. But lots of people would love to do what you want to do. And you can come over anytime. I'll help you do that.
I will. One of those TV shows should show up, the ones that document the temperature down the hall and something's going on down there?
We have had a couple of organizations that have come in and done an analysis, you know, stayed to the wee hours of the morning. They claim to have found things with their equipment, and they gave a great presentation, standing room only, over at the Rossbach Museum. It was fascinating.
Well, back in 2007, there was renovation, there was an addition, so that means it's been 10 years. Either you didn't get a very good roof put on then, or it wasn't done 10 years ago, because the roof needs to be done now and needs some repair. Tell us what's going on, because this is an old building and you have to expect these kinds of things to come along.
You know, we anticipated that there might be some problems, maybe some minor leakage. There seemed to be some evidence way up in the attic. And so we brought in a company to analyze it, and they found that there are some modest repairs to the chimney, the masonry, the gutters, and the flashing. It would be kind of a proactive approach to preventing greater damaging leakage. So we want to get on top of it right away. It's an $18,000 repair, which takes away our breath. But this same company also projected that 30 years from now, when we have to replace the roof again, the cost will be $925,000. So when you look at that, $18,000 doesn't seem as bad. You know, it's more palatable. But yet we are tasked with raising funds to take care of that right away.
So this company says 30 years from now when the roof needs replacing, which is three times what it's been since the roof was done last time.
That's right. We'll take it on.
I'm nitpicking there. Steve Renfrey is with us. He's executive director at the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts. That, of course, is the iconic venue in Menominee, Wisconsin. We should point out, Steve, that tickets alone do not keep the lights on and the wear and tear away.
No, I wish they could. You know, we have a beautiful intimate setting with a maximum of 269 seats. And we bring in wonderful artists, diverse artists and programming. Mm-hmm. But we can only raise about 30% of our $400,000 budget, which means we depend on donations and sponsorships, every performing arts center does, seems like.
And you do get good response that way.
We do.
There's a wonderful faction out there that continuously and consistently supports places like the Mabel Tainter. And those people, I'm sure you want to publicly thank.
We do thank them. We thank them
on
personally.
On the radio.
Yeah, on the radio. Well, I do want to thank every one of our great patrons out there and businesses, as well as the government agencies that support the Mabel every year. Joking aside, they are wonderful.
To all of you listening out there, raise your hands if you haven't been to the Mabel Tainter. If you're driving, just raise one. All right. Okay, I see some hands out there. You know, in my mind, it truly is a place that everyone should visit. Everyone should attend a show of some kind. Simply because you will walk away and say, first of all, why didn't I come here before? Secondly, I sure do want to come back again. And why did I let this be a best-kept secret in my life all the way up until now? But it's an interesting fact of life that many times in a town in which people live, some of the best-kept secrets stay best-kept secrets. You know, the Mabel Tainter is well-known to people all over western Wisconsin, all over the Midwest, all over the world. But there are people in Menominee who haven't been there, I'll bet.
That's right. We have people come from all over the world. They'll take our free docent tours on Fridays and Saturdays. And then we'll have somebody come in who lives just down the street, and they'll say, you know, I've never been here before. And boy, are they amazed at what they see. Then they are driven to come back to see a show.
Well, to that end, your 2017-2018 season is a literal artistic buffet. It starts on July 9th with a country legend. Who's coming?
That's T.G. Shepherd, 21 number one hits. And so we are thrilled to have him come to the Mabel for a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. on July 9th. So it'll be a nice place to be cool and be up and close and personal with his six-piece band. It's going to be great country fare.
July is a busy month. You swing into August. I'm scooting over these because we can't talk about every single one of them, but I want to get to some of the iconic things. Mm-hmm. In September, on the 13th, tell us about Ava Schloss.
Yeah, Ava Schloss is Anne Frank's playmate and stepsister following the war, and she's a Holocaust survivor who will be coming to the Mabel on September 13 to share a documentary that features the documents that Otto Frank put in to try to escape to America. And as you know, they were unsuccessful. So after a viewing of that movie with Ava and the producer, Ava will then come out and talk to the audience and take questions. It will be a remarkable experience, though it's very sobering. She has a way of helping us understand it and see a vision of hope for current refugees. This is a wonderful, wonderful evening people should come to.
Again, skimming 3 days later, one of my favorite guitar players, Willie Porter, is there. Still lots more. We're skipping over some people. Then on the 25th of September, we all have heard of the book Tuesdays with Maury. You are bringing the play, and it stars somebody we all know. Does Max Klinger from Toledo ring a bell to anybody?
Yes. Jamie Farr of MASH has been touring this show, I think, for a couple decades, if I got that right.
Oh, really?
He is a master in this role of Maury, and it will be wonderful to have him on our stage on September 25th, which is a Monday night.
Cool. The day after, you have an Everly Brothers experience. You have some dogs coming in October. Steely Dan, I noticed, at the end of October. You know, that caught my eye. I said, there's a typo, but of course it's not. It's reproducing the Steely Dan and Donald Fagen songbook.
They're from Dane County, so the nuances of the double entendre is even more fun.
Get it now. About a third of the way through November, you have Cinderella Ballet coming, some bluegrass a day later. Mm-hmm. Claudia Schmidt's going to be there. Then the 19th of November, another very special guest. Wow. The songbird-like voice of
Judy Collins, yeah. The one and only. This is a real honor for us to have her at the Mabel Tainer and for people to share that intimate space with her.
That could be one of those shows where you have to put out another one.
Yeah.
Oops, we need a second show.
Yeah, you know, we do still have seats, but I have to say, with very little publicity so far, word is getting around. That's a show people should see.
Middle of December, another one of my favorite guitar players, Pat Donahue, and the Prairie All-Stars are going to be there. As Christmas approaches, you will have Clara's Dream, a holiday favorite. That's the St. Paul Ballet's version of the Nutcracker. The memories are coming back. 2018, I'm already into February. Harmonious Whale, I have some music that's by them. I think they're pretty cool.
They are. I'm really excited about that show.
Again, we can't talk about all these on this particular show, and I suggest that people go to the Mabel Tainer website. So let me skip ahead. May 13th, 2018, again, somebody who's going to take me back.
Yeah, the Kingston Trio, and I specifically booked two shows because that's Mother's Day, and I can't think of a better way to celebrate Mother's Day, 2 p.m. matinee or a 7 p.m. show. That will be a remarkable roundup to our season.
Wow. 58 years after Tom Dooley. Well, I got to tell you, Steve, this is impressive stuff. It appears as if I'm going to be putting on Miles to Menominee.
Oh, good.
I think everybody's saying that after hearing this. And, of course, the people who go to the website will probably say the same. So congratulations on the energetic, progressive schedule you have coming up. I don't think you'll have a problem fixing the roof.
We are looking forward to all the challenges and the great shows. We are very grateful to everyone who supports the Mabel Tainer.
So where online? Again, let's give the official address. Do people get all the information they need?
www.mabeltainter.org.
Steve Renfrey, always a pleasure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And we touched on literally just a small tip of the big iceberg that is the 2017-2018 season at the Mabel Tainter in Menominee. Now's a good time to visit the website, map out your plans for taking the family or someone special to visit Mabel. The music of Tommy Bent's band and Mr. Bent's Vents, a celebration in liquid form. And next, Annie comes to Prescott, upcoming on Spectrum West. Support for WPR comes from Explore La Crosse, announcing Riverfest June 30th through the 4th in Riverside Park, downtown La Crosse. Music, food, family-friendly activities, fireworks, and more, explorelacrosse.com. Support also comes from Simply Done in Downsville, a place for gifts, ideas, and space for events. Home of Dunn County Pottery, featuring wood-fired pottery and fair trade gifts. More at simply-dunn.com. Another classic hits the stage of Western Wisconsin Amateur Theater Company and Jim Oliver has that narrative.
Annie is a musical based on the comic strip Little Orphan Annie, with music by Charles Strauss, lyrics by Martin Charnin, and book by Thomas Meehan. The original New York production opened in 1977 and ran for nearly 6 years, and it won the Tony Award for Best Musical. The Great River Theater of Prescott is opening its production of Annie on July 13th in a brand new venue, which we will get into. Joining us by telephone is the director of the production, Judy Johnson. Welcome.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, in the past, the Great River Theater has presented its summer production outdoors in the Prescott City Park, and winter show is usually a dinner theater presentation, so tell us about the change.
I have been dreaming of having a place indoors where we could go to have a regular production so we didn't have to fight with the outdoor elements. I love being outdoors, but when you have to do a play and you have to count on everything being just so a whole lot of people can come and sit outdoors and enjoy your show, it gets to be a bit much. And so now we're going to be indoors, we're going to be in comfortable air conditioning, we're going to have a stage that we don't have to build every time that we want to use it. Everything, you know, is going to be nice. It's a very nice auditorium. It seats about 500 people. Everything is all plush and padded. The stage is nice and big. It's actually got a curtain that we can pull now, and it's got a nice sound system. It's going to be a new adventure because, you know, all of us that have been doing this for so many years are not used to having a stage that we can work indoors on. So this is a whole new adventure for us. It's going to be a little bit different, but I think it's going to be really nice.
I may be forcing you to jump the gun here a little bit, but do you suppose this will enable the theater company to expand its season beyond two productions?
It would be possible. I mean, I would be very willing to do more than two shows, but the thing is to get the people committed to do it. That's sometimes like pulling teeth. people like the idea, but then when they have to start coming to practices, they have more than just theater that they want to be committed to. So it's, you know, unless they're really dedicated to it like I am, they just don't want to spend all that much time. I can usually get a cast together to do one show, and I can get a cast together to do a dinner play, you know, like we do up at the Ridgetop. But to do more than that, Jim, I don't know. And besides that, you know, I got to give room to the high school because they like to do their productions too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to do more, but I don't think that that's going to be possible. Unless Prescott would have a whole new feeling about theater, you know, if they would really want to do this and be committed to this. They would get a whole new feel for it, then that would be different.
Well, let's move off the venue then, and let's talk about Annie. Little Orphan Annie comic strip was around for a long time. I was a child and read Little Orphan Annie, so that's really a long time ago. So talk a little bit about the play and how it relates to the comic strip.
Jim, I'm not familiar with the comic strip.
Okay. Well, you must know the characters in the strip.
I know the characters.
Okay, well, that's all we really need to talk about. So tell me about the play.
I have a little gal that's 10 years old. She is loaded with talent. She's doing such a fine job. I have 21 little orphan kids that are just so excited. They sing their songs so well. I can't believe these are just small children that are doing this, and they sound so good. Oh, they just get out there, and they love the music, they love the songs, and they just sing their hearts out, and they dance. You know, most of them are doing little dances and stuff, and they're just great. There's this little gal that plays a part of Molly. She's like 6 years old, and she is incredible. She is just absolutely incredible. And there's 6-7 orphans that have regular speaking parts. And those kids, they are just right on. They know everybody's lines as well as their own.
Oh, sure. Well, kids are usually that way.
Yeah. I have no complaints about these kids at all. They're very well behaved. They follow direction. They do what they're told, and they're just wonderful kids.
Who are the actors that play the major roles, like Annie and Daddy Warbucks?
Well, her name is Echo Carl. She's from Prescott. They're new to Prescott. Most of the people this year are all from Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
We got Mark Anderley, who has done many plays with us before. He plays the part of Daddy Warbucks. Right now, Mark and I are having some rather lengthy discussions about his haircut.
Oh.
He doesn't want to have a bald head, but he doesn't want to wear a wig either. So he says, I'll just get out there beforehand, and I'll say, Daddy Warbucks is growing hair this time. I said, no, Mark, you can't do that.
Well, you can't do that. No.
I said, everybody knows Daddy Warbucks is bald. You know, that's just how it is. And so we're having some discussion about that. The lady that's playing Miss Hannigan has been with us, oh, my goodness, for 15 years. She is just incredible. She's so good. It's Liz Gerke, and she's got a wonderful singing voice, and she's got a wonderful way about her that she can really lord it over those little kids, you know, make them behave. Mm-hmm. We love you, Miss Hannigan. You know, you can just hear them crying behind their voices. Lily and Rooster, played by Courtney Lamb and Jordan Bloomstrand. Courtney has been choreographing the plays for the last couple of years, and she's got a nice singing voice, too, and she makes a real nice Lily. And the gal that's playing the part of Grace Barrow, her name is Shelby Schultz. Oh, my gosh, she has the most gorgeous voice. Just wait till you hear her. She's 15, but she looks much older, and she just does a fantastic job. And then, of course, we got, you know, a lot of the people that we've had other years. We got the Boylan sisters, and we have Mr. Healy, and we have other people that are just, they're just wonderful. Mm-hmm. The whole cast is I couldn't ask for a nicer cast of people.
We're talking to Judy Johnson, who's director of the Great River Road Theater production of Annie. Well, you alluded a bit to the technical crew and the musical crew. Do you have a musical director?
Yes, his name is Tom Hoffmeister, mm-hmm. and he is the vocal director at Brick House Music.
Okay, and how about any other technical people, sound, lights, that sort of
we
stuff?
We have Mark Moldenhauer, who has been with us, he's 26, 27. He's been with us since he was fifth grade. He came with his brother, and then he just started learning all of the steps to being a sound and light manager. He is so good. Mm. I mean, he can do anything. You give him a brick, and he'll make a sound out of it. He'll make it light up. Okay. He's just so good with what he does. Mm-hmm. We have Dan Rice and Dwayne Dubois, who are in charge of building the stage and make sure that the sets are secure and make sure that everything is good. And they're helping us secure the backdrop so things go on and off quickly. Mm-hmm. Ken Rowan, who is my assistant director this year, just because sometimes it's nice to have somebody to consult with when you have a problem that you don't want to bother anybody else with. Mm. He's got good ideas, and he's taking part of some of the characters in the play. He loves to sing and dance, and he's a good guy. And Vanessa Norby, little gal that I saw grow up in Prescott when she started taking dancing lessons. I remember her when she first started tying her shoe. She would come down to the bakery that my husband and I used to have, and she would show me how she learned to tie her shoe.
Oh, boy.
But now she's gone through all of her dancing, and she's got her own children now in the play, and she's our choreographer for the children, and she does just marvelous work with them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the music. Are there familiar tunes that we would recognize? From
oh, sure. Tomorrow, I love you tomorrow.
Okay.
It's a Hard Knock Life. That one I think most people know. You know, I could sing them to you. You probably recognize them, but but those are the three that come to mind.
Well, where do you get tickets?
You can get tickets at the Tax IGA store in Prescott or downtown. It's antique store called the Twisted Oak, or you can get it right at the door. Just because we're moving in to the auditorium this year, we're having all the tickets the same price. $10 for adults and $5 for children. And then if you come as a family, you get a family discount. You can bring your whole family for $25.
Wow. Well, we've been talking to Judy Johnson, who is director of the Great River Road Theater production of Annie. The show opens July 13th and runs through July 23rd at Prescott High School Auditorium. Judy, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Jim. It was very much fun talking.
Delightfully done, as usual. Go have some fun in Prescott, everybody. Still to come, the CD is called Friend or Foe, the namesake of the Tommy Bentz Band. Jim Oliver looks at the stages of western Wisconsin. For now, the cultural renaissance happening in the Chippewa River Valley is often matched by the commercial resurgence going on in many categories. Hospitality is one. Within that field lies a combination of consumerism and connoisseurism, none more palatable than the production of innovative libations. Infinity Beverages began as a winery and has added distillery. As a celebration of success, a housewarming product partnership, and let's have a party just because it's fun and can be delicious, Infinity Beverages is hosting the Northern Roots Tasting Event. Catherine Rapaz manages sales and marketing for Infinity. Well, here is something you don't see very often. You go to the website, and big red letters, "sold out," appear on several of your offerings. Now, I know that's not something a marketing person wants to lead off with. But first, there's still a lot to choose from. And secondly, I guess it portrays the popularity of the product.
Exactly. Mm. And some of those are experimental products, so they're kind of a one-and-done sort of thing.
Oh, they are.
We just like to keep them on the website to let people know that we're constantly trying new things at Infinity.
So the word experimentals is interesting to me. Does that make us a guinea pig, kind of?
Of course. Yeah. Guinea pig kind of also allows our winemaker, Matthew Rick, to be really creative and try new things and see what works and what people like.
So back to the beginning, Infinity Beverages, 2010. What products did you start with?
We started with wine. Our Solace wine, which is our Syrah Pinot Noir combination, is the first wine we made.
And now,
now we have our five
vodka.
Yeah,
three of those.
Three vodkas, two beer skis, which is our whiskey.
Yeah, the experimentals where the sold out items are.
Mm-hmm. And then the five signature wines.
You can also do custom wines, customized packaging.
Yes, you can make your own private label wine label to put on our product for your special event.
Talk about, if you would please, the process of determining new products. How does that, what's R&D like at Infinity?
A lot of it is really just looking at things that aren't in our market right now. For example, we started this year, we released a rosé wine that's a combination of a couple different grape varietals. And it's always just a matter of kind of seeing what the market is looking for and what new things we can add to it. Mm-hmm. Always trying to look to do that one thing that's just different and no one else is doing quite yet.
Well, some of your sold out experimentals are things that I haven't seen anybody do.
Yeah, exactly. One of the really popular ones this past year was our coffee bean barreled single malt
whiskey. And I read about that process. Wow.
Yes, that was intense.
Takes a while.
Yeah, because the coffee beans had to go into the barrels, and it's not that easy to get coffee beans out of a barrel, we learned. But it was delicious. Unfortunately, that one is one of the sold out ones.
And then you use the coffee beans. Somebody does.
Yes, exactly. We use the coffee beans, and they had quite a bit of a whiskey heat in your coffee, but no actual whiskey. But it was pretty tasty. Vanilla espresso vodka. That's one of our signature products for the Audacity vodka.
Though.
Nope, we have that.
We still have some.
Yes, we have the vanilla espresso vodka in-house right now. That's a really fun one, too, because basically we get fresh roasted espresso beans from Honest Roast Coffee here in Eau Claire.
Okay.
And they bring them in the day of. So the day they're roasted, they go into the vodka, which is one of the reasons it has such a beautiful taste to it.
I'm not a big vodka drinker, but I always heard that the thing about vodka people liked was it didn't have any flavor.
Well, and our
so
vodka is very different. So our vodka is made with sugar beets and apples versus any sort of grain or wheat base. And it actually has a little bit of a sweetness to it, which makes it very drinkable. I like to add just a little bit of cream soda to mine and a splash of cream, and that's a real good cocktail with that vanilla espresso.
Did you give it a name, that cocktail?
I think we call it the Infinity Soda.
When I was a kid at my grandmother's house, we used to put milk in cream soda.
Kind of like that, but just add some vodka.
My grandmother said, well, that's why it's called cream soda, because you add a little milk to it and it becomes this wonderful thing. So,
well, it's delicious.
And I believed her, and she was never wrong.
Yeah.
Don't
Grandma's
you ever
never
say anything wrong,
wrong
about my grandmother. In the studio with Catherine Rapaz, she is sales and marketing manager, Infinity Beverages Winery and Distillery.
Mm-hmm.
And they have something coming up. But before we get to that particular event, let's see how good you are at painting us a mental picture of your new facility. On the website, there's a Steadicam guy that goes in the front door and floats around the thing. It's a pretty impressive place.
Yeah, I mean, we're loving our new location. This big event that we're hosting is actually on the one-year anniversary of our move, too.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So it's kind of our official grand opening. I think anybody that's had a business that moves knows it takes about about a year to get settled.
It does.
So, yeah, the new location's absolutely beautiful. It kind of has this clean industrial feel as you come in, but still very welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
You open up the doors and you literally see a wall full of product. All the bottles are up there on the wall, big infinity sign. And then you can mosey up to our mezzanine for private events or back to our production room and see where everything's made.
Other than special events, which we'll get to, what can you do during a visit other than sip libations?
Well, we have our viewing windows to look into the production area. With this event, we've partnered with a lot of local cheese and meat producers, so you can try some meat and cheese with our wines and spirits and kind of really just get a little bit of education on what we do and why we do it. Trying always to make something new and different that you maybe haven't tried before.
That's
why we stick with doing the combination wines. All of our spirits are very different than most spirits, working with Sand Creek Brewery still to get the beer product that we make our Beersky whiskey out of. Always trying something new. I mean, basically, if you haven't been in the last 3 months, there are at least two new products for you to try.
Okay, I will.
Come on over.
That was for me, wasn't it?
Exactly, exactly.
That's all right. And there's a fireplace there.
Yes, nice fireplace. And there's beautiful patio seating for this time of year, too. You can sit outside and enjoy a cocktail in the bright sunshine.
That's why you're a marketing manager.
Yeah, exactly.
You just got me to want to come over. It's called the Northern Roots Tasting Event, and it's next Saturday, the 8th of July. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're super excited about this event. This will be the first annual Northern Roots Tasting Event, partnering with other Wisconsin vendors. Becky's Olive Salsa and Chip Magnet Salsa will be there.
Yes.
A Wisconsin foodie event focusing on Wisconsin products. Also partnering with award-winning Marika Gouda. They will have their original 2 to 4 month Gouda and their pepper Gouda there to pair with the wines.
I love that stuff.
Yes. And Ellsworth Creamery is sending their cheese curds from the cheese curd capital and some of their cheese fudge. A cheese base, but has like the fudgy taste. It's really different, but very good. Goes great with wine. And Oak Valley Cheese Factory is sending in the Italian cheese and the Asiago.
There's summer sausage with whiskey in it.
Yes. Mike's Star Market right here in Eau Claire has been using our whiskey and adding it to his summer sausage. It's absolutely delicious. It has that extra little heat of the whiskey in with that sausage.
Ooh.
Goes great, you know, on cheese plate. And Bloody Mary's, too. We'll be doing a little pre-mixed Bloody Mary sample, too.
Now, it says it was developed just for you. Does that mean it's just for this event, or they're going to do it?
Yeah, so it was developed for us. We do sell it on a regular basis.
Do.
We have a little retail fridge where we offer any of the cheeses offered on our cheese plates. You can buy a little bag of Ellsworth cheese curds or some Gouda to take home.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a
Gouda deal.
I may follow you out of the studio.
Yeah, we're open 7 days a week.
So now the tasting event on Saturday the 8th also has music.
Yes, we are so excited. Kathy Wrights and her band Seven Swing will be there. Kathy obviously was a music teacher here in Eau Claire for a long time, and it's great to just get to promote her band. There's some clips of her singing from an event we did last week, actually, on our Facebook page to kind of give you an idea of the really cool jazz that she'll be bringing. The trio will be performing during the day, first 3 hours of the event, and then for the last 3 hours, it'll be the full band.
Wow.
Plenty of room. We'll be blocking off part of the parking lot. So there'll be plenty of room for people to come and dance if they choose to, or just sit in a chair and tap their toes while sipping on some delicious local wine and eating some local cheese.
Some lucky people will also leave with more than they came with.
Exactly. We're really excited that we've partnered with Higgins Travel here in Eau Claire to be able to give away a land-only trip for two to Cancun, the Rio Caribe. That's the big grand prize given away at 6 p.m. Also working with Local Lounge here in Eau Claire, dinner for two. The Eau Claire Brew Hop is giving away two tickets for one of their new tours.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a new bus that takes people around on a little bus and hops around to different locations. And they have a winery flight and then a distillery flight and also a brewery flight that you can choose from.
Wow.
And then from us, you have the opportunity to win a case of product for a penny. So that's $150 worth of Infinity Goods for just one penny.
Hmm.
And then also we're going to be giving away a wine barrel.
You know, those are some nice looking barrels.
Yeah, and I mean, they work great. They make things taste so good.
Do they?
Yeah. Yes, that oak, that charred oak really brings forth a different flavor to wines or spirits. Yeah.
Okay, so now the hours again of the event are?
From noon to 6 p.m. $10 entrance fee gets you your first 10 ticket samples for free.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And then you have the opportunity to purchase more. We'll have some designated pairing options. People can come and taste a sip of Infinity and try something new.
Am I drooling?
Just a little.
Good that it's radio.
Well, it is almost lunch,
Infinity Beverages Wine and Distillery, one of the innovative businesses helping to put Eau Claire even more boldly on the map. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Making life interesting. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
The website, again, is infinitybeverages.com. Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. Support for WPR comes from Visit Winona, offering Picasso to canoeing to jazz. The city has a wide assortment of entertainment options, a trip planner and events calendar available at visitwinona.com. It's kind of fun to listen to a little Butch Thompson every once in a while. Some Western Wisconsin theater companies are busy. Let's turn again to Jim Oliver to find out which ones, shall we?
Thanks, Al. The Great River Road Theater will present the musical Annie next Thursday through Sunday and July 20th through the 23rd at the Prescott High School Auditorium. The Red Barn Theater of Rice Lake is presenting Duck Hunter Shoots Angel through Saturday. The musical 1776, presented by the Festival Theater, will play through July 9th at the Franklin Square Black Box Theater in St. Croix Falls. Upcoming performances at the Great River Shakespeare Festival in Winona include The Iliad, Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and next Thursday evening, Shipwrecked, Friday evening and Sunday afternoon, and Comedy of Errors, Saturday evening and Wednesday afternoon. The Eau Claire Children's Theater will stage Magic Treehouse, Pirates Past Noon, today, Thursday, and Friday at the Oxford Theater. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
Tommy Bentz grew up in western Wisconsin and was drawn to music early on. He played music, he peddled music, and years later, he still does both, now in River Falls. The Tommy Bentz Band performs in venues near and far. Brickhouse Music sells music and teaches it to students. And every now and again, the Tommy Bentz Band hits the studio to record a new CD. The latest is called Friend or Foe. The song in the background is called King Me, the middle kid in a family of nine tracks. Tuesday, we spoke on the phone, beginning with my recollection of spending time in the practice room with my violin. Turns out he liked the fiddle too back when, but the guitar eventually won the battle. I was in an orchestra, and suddenly, you know, when I turned 12, got to learn the guitar.
Yeah, I would have played an orchestra, but when you grow up in a super small town, there's no orchestra, so you had to play in band, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things where the violin is always sort of floating around as the thing that got me going, you know. And I think that playing violin and also playing the oboe, especially, because they're both very touchy instruments when it comes to pitch, I think that certainly helped me for hearing and listening properly and especially trying to play slide, too. I was going to try to play flute, and I don't know why, but for some reason, it just didn't take, and the band director goes, well, yeah, I need an oboe player or a trombone. Trombone just didn't seem that exciting to me, and so I'm like, well, I'll try this, you know. It helped me get a scholarship to college, so, you know, by learning how to play it, you know, I mean, I tell that to secondary instrument players all the time. It's like if you play oboe, if you play bass, clarinet, bassoon, French horn, you know, college bands are always looking for players. There's a gazillion clarinet players, and there's a gazillion trumpet players. But
Nobody's crazy enough to play the oboe. You know, and thinking about rock music, you know, over the years with Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears and some of those brass bands, the brass got all their stuff. Ian Anderson made the flute famous in rock music. But has there ever been an oboe player in rock music?
There has not. Not that I know of. I mean, you've got, you know, session players who've done oboe parts or English horn parts, but not like, hey, this person is a specific oboist and then doing this and that.
You can't wail on an oboe, can you? I mean, you can wail on most woodwinds, but maybe not the oboe.
Well, you can, but it's a tiny bit more delicate. And, well, how do I explain this? Well, because of the double reed,
right,
you know,
you have to
be a little bit more conscious of your embouchure and your mouth and everything to the relationship of, you know, holding it and everything like that. So it is a bit more delicate. I mean, you certainly could definitely do
a solo.
You know, you could certainly wail on it to a degree, but yeah, it would be trickier.
So now at your music store, do you cover all the instruments?
Yeah, we have instructors that cover virtually everything. We have woodwind, brass wind, string instrument, violin, viola, cello, and then we have guitar, bass, vocal, piano, and drum instruction. So we have about 350-plus lessons a week.
I was curious at the very beginning about the Brick House name, and then I read the bio on your website. All makes sense to me now. Your dream of owning a music store started early in a brick house, and you, as many successful people have, started from the bottom, literally.
Mm-hmm.
You were in a basement of your parents' home, and it was a brick house.
In Elma. I grew up in Elma, I think you've pronounced it correctly. when you grow up in a town of 800, you know, there's, I don't want to say there's nowhere to go but up, but, you know, there's not as many sort of opportunities to explore this or that artistically. So I was lucky that the parents, you know, got me lessons. We went places, you know, I got to see things. So I was able to look around and figure out what I wanted to do in an early age. I was lucky that.
Later, you did the secondary education thing and in music business, the first I heard at Winona State, and then on to UW Eau Claire. You played in the well-known Jazz One Ensemble, and there you had a band called Cartoon Water, and I think selecting names for rock bands could be a whole program in itself.
You are absolutely right, Al. It's there's a bunch of like goofy band name sites, you know, that people, you know, kind of made fun of things over the years and stuff. But I think that it's always something sort of ultra creative or just, you know, goofy beyond belief. You know, if someone's just trying to, well, it's just, we need a name. We have a show in 3 days. You know, we need to call ourselves something for the marquee. You know, what are we going to do?
Cartoon Water. Let's call it the first two things that I see.
Yeah. And then after that, it just seemed like the band kind of, I don't want to say fizzled, but everybody kind of went their separate ways, and I sort of ran it for a while with some different people, and then I kind of got to the point where I was starting to write some songs more and do some things on my own, and I thought, well, I looked at people like heroes of mine, and I thought, well, you know, when you go to see them, you know they're going to be there, and so I just decided to start calling it the Tommy Bentz Band.
Yeah, makes sense to me. On the phone with Tommy Bentz, and he's a musician. You've heard of him. He's done a lot of stuff, and we're going to talk about some of that stuff. We want to also hit on the fact that the newest CD is called Friend or Foe, play on words there, that's F-A-U-X. There's also a DVD out, a live in concert thing, so it's kind of fun to watch Tommy do his thing rather than just listen. Stock question of mine for recording musicians, how they know that it's time for a CD? Most people say, well, we just had enough new original material that it was time for a CD. What's this one like? Is there any kind of a departure on it, or is it the good old Tommy Bentz sound? There we've got the phone going.
I think that for me, you know, hey, we have enough material. I think along with that, to sort of qualify that is to, if you have enough material that seems like it fits together, I feel that songs need to sort of come together and have sort of a thread with them.
Okay.
You know, any of the great albums you listen to, I just think that historically that's the better way to go. So for me, it's a little bit of that. And it's also in our somewhat fickle business at times, you know, you want to remain relevant. And we play a lot of shows every year.
Yeah.
So people see us and hear us. But at some point, people want to hear something new and hopefully buy something new. So there's a little bit of market desire that comes in too. So you know, that's that fine line between artist and businessman, business person, I should say, that you have to sort of ride.
See, it's all in the way that you talk to me. strength, keep the world at arm's length. With a push and a pull, some days you find God loving it all. With a push and a pull, time will tell if you rise or fall.
This CD, now that you mention it, does have a really nice flow to it, including a really cool instrumental in which all of you guys get to display your musical chops. There's a little bit of B3 action on the CD, and I like the King Me piece because every time I listen to an album, I wonder, you know, these guys are good musicians. I wonder how good. You know, when you feature yourselves on instrumentals and everybody takes a few bars and runs with it, that's kind of neat.
Thank you. Yeah, well, and that was kind of a great, fun one to do. I was trying to come up with some songs that I could sort of jam along with to do kind of like little clinics, you know, here at the store and possibly do some stuff for other people down the road. And I had come up with that kind of line, you know, and I was like, oh, this is kind of sort of almost Freddie King-esque. And then hence I decided to make it as a tribute to him. So
we could talk at length about your enjoyment of going across the ocean to play for the people over in the UK and Scotland and Ireland, maybe. I don't know if you've been there, probably.
Yes, last September we were over in Ireland. We played in a small town called Monaghan, and it was for the Harvest Time Blues Fest.
Okay, the thing about that experience that I'd like you to expound on a little bit is about the listening rooms over there. I think our audience would be interested because here we go to see a band, and, you know, it's in a club and people are yakking and stuff. Listening rooms are big over there. Tell us what a listening room is like.
Yes, it's great. We actually started our tour about we went at the end of May, so just a few weeks ago, and we started our tour at the Falkirk Blues Club. Falkirk is a small town, somewhere between Chippewa and Eau Claire size, slightly north of Glasgow and a little north and to the west of Edinburgh. For those sort of trying to figure out where that is, what the Falkirk Blues Club, like a lot of the blues clubs around the UK do, is they will bring a group in once a month, so they make a special deal of it. And they have people that, you know, are members of the club, and I'm sure they have people that can just come and pay the admission fee, and it's a specific listening room. So, again, not like a bar or a pub per se. I mean, they do have libations for people to get, but it's also one of those things where people are sitting down and they're interacting, oftentimes even asking questions, you know, within the show. I'd say probably that has to do with the artist is game for that, which we always are. You know, it's nice to have some quick interaction with people, and it helps sort of relieve tension, you know, because you're playing to a room of people that, you know, most of which you may not know and some you might. And it's nice to be able to kind of talk about the songs that way. So, you know, there are historically in the United States folk clubs and house concerts, and that's kind of a similar vibe, but this is more with an electric band.
Yeah, so that's cool. I'd like to attend some of those, but I don't know that I want to go that far to do it. Maybe we should start doing that around here somewhere.
I think that would be superb. Perhaps the Chippewa Valley Blues Society could whip something up like that.
Oh, I hope they're listening. I know they're listening.
Yeah, we'll get Mike Fisher on that.
We will, because that's innovative. You know, Eau Claire is becoming real well known for innovation.
Yeah, while we were over there, we played a couple of things like that, in addition to some other new places and a couple mini festivals, and learned of some more of those kinds of situations. So having that is great because from a performer standpoint, you have a built-in audience. They're there to hear you. Oftentimes they want to take home some of your merchandise, which of course is lovely, and they're very effusive. You're not having to fight to sort of win the crowd over, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing.
Enjoying a conversation with Tommy Bentz about music. What does teaching music do for a professional musician? I wrote the note here, keep you young, ? And I also thought to myself, I'll bet you that Tommy, in his guitar mentoring over the years, has seen himself as a young guy on more than one occasion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think for teaching, it helps a musician evaluate themselves. Because if you're trying to explain to someone how you get from point A to point B, you have to kind of look at yourself to see if how you're doing it is either the way you want to or a way that makes sense. So it's something that is, I think, enlightening, enriching, as well as you're paying it forward, to use a newer statement, I guess, you want what we do to grow. There's room for all kinds of musicians in the world, and the more music we have and the more art we have, I think the better our society is. And so the more we're doing things like that and the less we're doing other negative things, I think that we're all better off.
By the way, the CD is available at CD Baby, iTunes, Brickhouse Music, Tommy Bent's Band website, soon, I think. Pretty good stuff. Here's a Spectrum memo at the Heidi Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. It's 80 for 80, a retrospective of visual art of Susan Phelps Pearson through July 12th. CVCA.net is the website there. Building Bridges is a group art show at the L.E. Phillips Public Library in Eau Claire through August 30th. So that's up quite a while. ecpubliclibrary.info is that website. Saturday, it's America, America, an evening of favorite readings and sing-alongs to celebrate Independence Day, featuring the Northern Lakes Chamber Orchestra. That's at the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts, and that is in Amory. Well, thanks to Ben, Kate, and Dean, the promotional trio that gets the word out each week. You know, we might just have T.G. Shepherd and Billy Krause on the same show next week. Now, that would be a blockbuster. We're going to talk about a book that does nothing to solve the questions about the chicken and the egg, but sure does have a lot of other stuff on the subject. And more on Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross for Jim Oliver. Thank you. Have a great holiday weekend. Make it a safe one. We'll see you next week.